Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Forbes and other media sources often track women's progress by counting the number of female CEOs and politicians. But what about women farmers? In a report published in April, the U.S. Department of Agriculture revealed that women-operated farms nearly tripled between 1982 and 2007. The number of women farmers is up to about 1 million, making them a third of the total individuals involved in agriculture. Lori Rotenberg reports for the Boston Globe and the New York Times and other publications, and she's a frequent contributor to Grist, an online environmental news provider. Her most recent article in Grist is called Breaking the Grass Ceiling. On U.S. farms, women are taking the reins, it's called. Lori Rotenberg is here to help us break down these stats and to share some of the stories that she's collected from Farmer Janes. Hey, Lori, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thank you very much for having me on today.
So I'm curious first, what exactly defines a new woman farmer? Many Americans have a conception of the family farm where the husband operates the heavy machinery and the wife tends to the livestock and the crops and the house. Do we need to reconceive this image for a woman to be called the farmer?
Oh, I think that's probably a good idea. They're going into farming from two really different spectrums. You have young women coming out of college who desire to work on farms, go into agriculture, and you also have at the other end women between the ages of 40 and 60 who are either retiring and going into something they've always wanted to do, which is work the land, or they're leaving their jobs in corporate America to follow something they always wanted to do. They had quite a few of the women I talked to had an idea that they wanted to do this when they were younger, but coming up at an age when women were moving ahead in corporations, they thought, you know, since they had spent the money on education, that they should go ahead and go into corporate work for a while. And now, knowing where their heart lies, they're choosing to exit and go farm.
Do these tend to be different kinds of farms, the ones that the new college graduates are starting and the one that the 40 to 60-year-old career changers are starting?
Sometimes they're similar. The career changers, of course, may have built up some equity to be able to go into something larger. Your younger farmers, it's usually a half acre to an acre. They sometimes work on urban farms first to get some training. And they will usually go in with a friend, a partner, a spouse, a neighbor, a cousin, something like that, whereas the women who are a little bit older tend to be more independent, doing it on their own or with a husband.
Women, farmers, are you out there? I mean, we're sitting in Lower Manhattan, so we may not have any male or female farmers listening to us right now, but we've had farmer callers before. Some farms are definitely within our listening radius. Any female farmers listening right now, or women who would ever consider sacrificing your city or suburban lifestyle for the sake of a farming lifestyle? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And there are, of course, as our guest was saying, some urban farms. We've done shows on rooftop farms in Brooklyn and things like that. So any female farmers of any type want to call in, 212-433-WNYC. Talk about the grass ceiling in your life, 212-433-9692. For Lori Rotenberg, who wrote this article on Grist called Breaking the Grass Ceiling, on U.S. farms, women are taking the reins. And we also have a new farmer with us now, Hannah Breckbill, who's from Elgin, Minnesota. Hannah, hello from New York. Thanks so much for coming on.
Hi. Thanks for calling.
And I see that you left your job as a mathematician to become a farmer. That's quite a change.
Well, I actually majored in math in college, and immediately out of college, I was tired of academia, so I decided to just go straight into farm internships and the like. And then for the past few years, I've been employed on vegetable farms, and this is my first year on my own trying to make it as a vegetable farmer.
When you say employed on vegetable farms, people certainly around New York City will think gosh, farm worker, that's the lowest of the low job. That's the thing that people sneak across from Mexico to do because no Americans will do it. So what is it really?
Well, in my case, it was there's a growing demographic, I would say, as Lori was saying, of young college-educated people who want to be in touch with the land, be in touch with the food system, and I'm one of those, and a number of, you know, smaller organic vegetable farms often hire these college students or people fresh out of college to give them kind of an education, and as they go forward in learning about organic and sustainable agriculture.
So now that you own, what's your farm like?
Well, I'm running a vegetable farm. It's about 2 acres, and I am wholesaling to restaurants and some grocery stores in the Twin Cities of Minnesota and Rochester, Minnesota.
One last question before we let you go, and I see that we are getting some farmers from Greater New York, let's call it, calling in, so we'll go to them. Farming has a reputation of being a dangerous and physically grinding career, with people losing arms to tractors and incidents like that, or, you know, just wearing you down physically over the years. Do you think this is an issue, and do you think this is more of an issue for women than for men?
I don't think it's more of an issue for women than for men. I do think it is an issue. Figuring out how to work efficiently and ergonomically is a really key part of a farm being able to be successful. Another thing that I'd like to put out there is that health insurance is not an easy thing to come by for a farmer who's making a living on their own, and usually it's a pretty small living. So that's an important thing that a lot of farmers are thinking about these days.
Hannah Breckbill from Elgin, Minnesota. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. Good luck out there.
Thanks.
And let's go to Sarah calling in from Montgomery County, New York. Sarah, where's Montgomery County?
It's actually, I'm in Fort Plain, New York, which is in Montgomery County, which just experienced all the flooding along the Mohawk River.
Along the Mohawk River. So
yeah.
You're a farmer.
Yeah, and actually my experience very much ties together the two segments of your show. I was a consultant in Brooklyn up until 2008, and my husband and I decided to move up here and work an 80-acre farm. We just thought, you know, between trying to put together all the contract work, trying to pay the health insurance, all of that stuff, we thought, why are we doing this in the basement apartment in Brooklyn when we can be out on all this land?
Well, good for you. Now, you call yourself a farmer. Maybe a generation or two ago, people would have called you a farmer's wife. Do you think the division is of labor is different between you and your husband than it would have been 30, 40, 50 years ago?
Not entirely, actually. I think, you know, some issue, there's just some things that he and I are naturally good at, and I don't know if it has to do with gender, but, you know, he puts up fence and I go out and look at the animals and I can see who's sick and who's, you know, who might not be feeling well. That may be, you know, how it was 50 years ago. And he is a second generation farmer. Mm-hmm. We live on the dairy farm that his parents mm-hmm. worked.
Sarah, thank you for checking in and good luck and congratulations on making what was probably a risky decision. Luke in North Franco, New York. Did I get that right? North what?
It's North Salem.
Oh, you're in North Salem. Oh, yeah, Northern Westchester County. Hi.
That's Northern Westchester. Yeah, I just wanted to call in and tell our story. My girlfriend, Jennifer Elliott, and I run a small flower farm in North Salem. It's called Tiny Hearts Farm. We both met in music school, actually, about 10 years ago. And you know, I'm still a musician working, and she decided, you know, after trying to pursue that career for a while, that she hated living in the city and needed to get out, and became a farmer. She volunteered on a CSA farm and had a great farm mentor, and after a few years was able to start up her own operation through the Westchester Land Trust.
And you told my screener something about a farmer gender role reversal in your situation?
Oh, definitely. She's the head farmer and, you know, kind of got us started and everything. And quickly, I guess, we found out that you can't do it alone, and that's how I kind of got pulled into it. And I've just been playing a supporting role and actually learning a little bit myself this year.
Luke from North Salem, the farmer's husband. Thanks,
that's right.
Thanks a lot for calling in. So, Lori, let me come back to you for our last 2 minutes. Great stories, first of all, from our three callers, right?
Yes, they're wonderful, and they're a great sampling of what I found when I was doing the interviewing. And, you know, it went from coast to coast. The stories are very vast and different, but there's a the same core seems to lie within them, where people wanted to either help improve the food system or get back in touch with nature.
If fewer women own large farms that make, say, $500,000 a year or more, does that go to the title of your article where you coined this term grass ceiling? Is there a grass ceiling in farming that's equivalent to the glass ceiling in the cities?
Yes, I believe there is, and it is because women have a little bit more difficulty getting loans than large, and especially because they're running smaller farms, than what the larger farmers may experience. So that in itself sets up a little bit, I don't know if you want to say discrimination or but a difficulty. And an interesting thing that's occurring is that as farmers who owned larger farms die, their wives are inheriting that land, and these women are older. So now that there's a great concern of what's going to happen to all of this farmland that's going to be available. And there's an organization in Iowa called the Women in Food Agriculture Network is looking at this quite heavily in terms of how this land will be divided and where it'll go. So
that's fascinating. Is that your term, by the way, grass ceiling, or is that in use out
there?
That
was Grist Editors. They're very good at that.
All right. And writing in Grist is Lori Rotenberg, whose article is Breaking the Grass Ceiling on U.S. Farms, Women Are Taking the Reins. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much, Brian. Have a good day.
You too. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.